that's Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. And I'll be reading from the Living Bible edition. That same day, Sunday, two of Jesus's followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles out of Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking of Jesus's death, when suddenly Jesus himself came along and joined them and began walking beside them. But God kept them from recognizing him. "You seem to be in deep discussion about something," Jesus said. "What are you so concerned about?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in all Jerusalem who hasn't heard about the terrible things that happened there last week." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did incredible miracles and was a mighty teacher, highly regarded by both God and man. But when the chief priests and our religious leaders arrested him, they handed him over to the Roman government to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had thought he was the glorious Messiah and that he had come to rescue Israel. And now, besides all this, which happened 3 days ago, some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning and came back with an amazing report that his body was missing and that they had seen some angels there who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, Jesus's body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You are such foolish, foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophets that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his time of glory?" Then Jesus quoted them passage after passage from the writings of the prophets, beginning with the book of Genesis and going right on through the scriptures, explaining what the passages meant and what they said about himself. By the time they were nearing Emmaus, and at the end of their journey, Jesus would have gone on. But they begged him to stay the night with them as it was getting quite late. So he did go home with them. And as they sat down to eat, Jesus asked God's blessing on the food. And then he took a small loaf of bread and broke it and was passing it over to them, when suddenly it was as if their eyes had been opened. They recognized Jesus, and at that very moment, he disappeared. They began telling each other how their hearts had warmed as he talked with them and explained the scriptures during their walk down the road. And within the hour, they were back on their way to Jerusalem, where the 11 disciples and the other followers of Jesus greeted them with these words: "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." And then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. Amen. And now I have great pleasure in praying for Jeff, who's going to be teaching us today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all the generations that have gone on before us, who have spread the good news so that we too may hear. Thank you for Luke's gospel. Thank you for the teachers in our church who, as well as Jesus, are explaining what the scriptures mean to us. Thank you for them. They help us to grow in the knowledge of God. And Lord, we just lift up Jeff and say thank you for him, Lord. Help him in all his words, Lord, so that we can fully understand what is meant by the scripture reading today. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks, Jerry Lee. Hi, everyone. It's good to be with you again. I hope you had a good Easter. Our passage this morning takes us back to that first Easter Sunday when the disciples discovered the gloriously awesome truth that Jesus is alive. They'd seen him die on the cross. They'd seen him laid in the tomb. But now they know he is risen from the dead, for he comes and meets with them and lifts their lockdown. It will be a better day tomorrow. And of course, for us, tomorrow is a better day. Lockdown continues to be lifted in a big way tomorrow. It's wonderful. Lockdown is beginning to be lifted completely. It's been a terrible road to travel, has it not? And many of you have suffered many bad things, I know, but there is a better day tomorrow. You see, the disciples knew what it was like to be locked down. Mary went to the tomb to anoint a dead friend, someone she loved, but she found a living Lord. The disciples in the upper room were locked down for fear of all the authorities might come and arrest them. Those disciples who went fishing with Peter in the boat all night long and they caught nothing. And Jesus comes. And these two bedraggled, sad and sorrowful disciples trudging the dusty road home to Emmaus are still locked down. They've heard from the women who went to the tomb in the morning that the tomb was empty. They said there was a vision of angels there, but I don't think they believe it. They've had enough of this. They're still locked down as they trudge home, these disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, I don't know much about any of you, but I know this much about all of you. You've been disappointed in your life at some time or another, in some way or another. You've had your expectations not fulfilled. You've had your dreams come to nothing, hopes and wishes, hard work, and yet it's not been realized the way you wanted it to be. That's just how they were feeling. And if you're feeling like that this morning, take heart from this passage and see what happens. Jesus comes. Jesus comes and walks alongside them and starts talking to them. He asks them questions about what they're talking about and asks them to describe some of the events they've been going through. Now, why does Jesus ask them a question he already knows the answer to? Well, he does that a lot in scripture, actually. He wants us to share how we're feeling. He needs to get into a conversation with us. He wanted those disciples on that road to share with him how they were feeling. Of course he knew. He knows everything. He is God. But, you know, God needs us to talk to him. You know, someone once said to me, why do I need to pray when God knows everything? That's a good question. Well, of course God knows everything, but he needs us to share how we're feeling. He needs a relationship with us. You know, it'd be a strange thing, wouldn't it, if we had relationships with people, but we never shared anything with them. We never spoke to them. It'd be very strange if my wife and I never talked to each other or told each other how we were feeling, what our views were on certain subjects. It'd be very strange, wouldn't it? Might say, well, she knows everything about me. Well, she may well do, but she needs you to talk to her. We need to talk if we're having a relationship with someone. It's pretty obvious. And that's what Jesus seeks here with these disciples as they walk along the road. And what he does is he opens up the scriptures to them. He says, well, hold on a minute then. Let me just take you back to the Old Testament and show you some of the places where the things that have happened have now come true. And you might have taken them back to Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 10, when it says, the one they pierced. Or maybe Psalm 53, which is what we call the suffering servant of Israel. Now, Jesus is the suffering servant of the Old Testament. Come now in Christ the Lord. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 goes like this. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And on Good Friday, he cries out to the Lord. He cries out to his Father in heaven, my God, why have you forsaken me? That comes straight out of Psalm 22 and verse 1. You see, Jesus opens the scriptures and tries to explain to them how it is that this all had to happen in order that he would be risen from the dead. You see, there's no crucifixion, there's no resurrection without crucifixion. Jesus is alive, and these things that have been said about him have now come to pass and are true. Open your scriptures. Open your Bible. I want to encourage you this morning to perhaps start a new regime of reading the scriptures. You know, there's passages in here that we can stand on. They're strong foundations for our faith. Golden passages, if you like. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to bring you hope and to bring you a future. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That's in Isaiah 43. Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Psalm 23, verse 4. And God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. John 3:16, as you know. Open your scriptures. You might say to me, I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm too busy. Well, find time. It's so important. You find time for other things. You find time to watch TV. Of course you do. You find time to read the papers, do other stuff. Well, look at your phone. Open your scriptures and stand on the promises of God. Jesus is that golden strain that runs right through the scriptures from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus connects all the passages together. For he is the God who is with us now and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so he walks with them and he talks with them and he teaches them and he brings out these scriptures to encourage them. And then they arrive at their destination, the home of these disciples, and he sort of tries to go on. You know, it's not that he wants to leave them. He wants to come in, but he doesn't gate crash them. He waits to be invited. You know, we need to invite him in. He doesn't want to go on without us, but he stands to wait for us to say, join us. And they say, come and eat with us. They were so overwhelmed by his presence as they walked on the road. Haven't we been overwhelmed by his presence as we've walked with him over the years? Invite him in. Even if you've done that many times before, do it again. Do it every morning. And if you've never done it, then let me encourage you this morning to invite him in. You may be feeling the power of his spirit at the moment. talking to you through this passage, through this message. I hope that God is speaking into your hearts and into your situations and lifting you up out of lockdown, so to speak, taking you out of some isolation you might be having, giving you some comfort this morning. Invite him in. He needs to be asked. He won't gatecrash our hearts. He needs to be invited in. And so they invite him in. And as they sit at table, he breaks the bread. And in that familiar thing that he does, he's done it many times before, they see him, they recognize him, and they know it's him. Wow, isn't that wonderful? And then he disappears from sight. Our God moves in mysterious ways. God can be very frustrating at times. But he goes. It's quite obvious that his risen body is not quite the same as it was when he was in his earthly body. He can go from one place to another. We find that in these passages of resurrection. From one place to another, he's at different times and different places. And he went, for there was others to speak to. And they get up from the table and they rush back to Jerusalem, another 7 miles back home, back to Jerusalem. And they find that indeed, yes, he has been with others. He's been with the disciples. He's been with Mary. And he's even been with Peter, who really let him down. You know, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation from Christ. He just loves us and wants us to know him. You know, these disciples didn't deserve his presence, really. They were walking away from him. They were walking into the setting sun, away from the risen Lord. They were disappointed. They were fed up. Their faith had been taken away, if you like, by the circumstances they'd been in. But he doesn't condemn them at all. He just loves them. Full of grace and full of truth is our Lord, the God who is with us in all circumstances. And then there's a passage I want to bring just to end. It comes out of Matthew's gospel. It's the last word that we get from Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, it's verse 19 and 20, where he's standing on a hillside. He takes the 11 disciples with him and he's about to raise up into heaven, the ascension, we call that, and to take his rightful place at the right hand of God. And before he goes, he gives them a commission. We call it the Great Commission, where he sends his disciples out to shine a light into the lives of people. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have taught you. He says to them, in a sense, go and set up food bank. Go and feed the poor. Go and house the homeless. Set up night shelters for those who are shivering on the streets and have nowhere to sleep. Be kind, be gentle, be patient with people. Love your neighbor, love your enemies. Shine a light into the darkness where people are locked down, where people are isolated. Be my disciples, teach them all that I have taught you. And then he leaves them with these wonderful words. And remember, he says, and he says it to us, remember, do not forget that I am with you, even unto the ends of the age. Lockdown is lifted. There's a better day tomorrow. Praise the Lord. I'm going to send you back to Mort now for more worship. Invite him in. He waits. He knocks at the door of your heart. Open that door and let him in.